Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
You've survived the first day back of work after the weekend, so to celebrate, we've another fabulous night of TV for you. We kick off proceedings with EastEnders at 8, but now it wouldn't be a weekday without the one show.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
Hello and welcome once again to the podcast that, as in Greek mythology, when according to Hesiod, Prometheus stole fire from heaven and Zeus took vengeance by presenting Pandora to Prometheus's brother Epimetheus, who opened Pandora's box, which left in his care contained all of the evils in the world, sickness, death, etc., and then he released them. Well, it's a bit like that, where each week we open TV's The One Show and let all of the evils out so we can discuss them in unnecessary and needless detail. I am John Holmes, and what a week it's been between 7 and 7.30 on a weekday evening on BBC One. This week, Andy Kershaw looks at a crab, there's a cardboard dog, and Hugh Dennis forces Leslie Garrett to change her knickers. Joining me in a One Show comedown, having mainlined it for a week, are producer and a musical show MD, Dave Cribb, and in a kind of reunion that no one asked for, my old XFM breakfast show news hound and semi-reliable sidekick, he's now an absolute seeing someone else, it's Matt Dyson. And now we clap like
Yeah.
Coming in. Woo! There we are. Dyson, hello.
How I've missed your Greek mythology.
it used to be my poetry you had an issue with.
Yeah, oh, I love it. It's deep.
Intellectual,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah,
back
yeah
in the day.
It is. It's very highbrow. Yeah. Very highbrow.
And that's why it failed.
I might have failed to cut through it to a mass market, but you know, there were a small core of people that loved it.
Three people.
Yeah. Well,
and you weren't even one of them.
I was there for the money.
Well, welcome along, Dave.
Hello.
Dave, you've been on this before, yes. So you've suffered watching The One Show.
My thrice. Third.
It's your thrice.
This is my thrice.
Okay.
We've got a new lingo for it.
Thrice.
And Matt, do you watch The One Show regularly?
No, but I've listened to this podcast a few times, yeah. And I'm a big fan of the podcast, the One Show podcast. I sort of used to watch it when in the classic lineup days of the Bleakley and Childs. That's the golden era, really. I suppose you probably a lot of people come on saying that. but it's that sort of, when you work on a breakfast show, when it's on, it's sort of, you know, it's sort of nearly time to go to bed. So you watch the stuff like Phil Tufnell's reports, where he goes Morris dancing with partially sighted inner city pensioners on an oil rig off the coast of Aberdeen. And you watch that sort of thing, you know. And it's like the BBC local breakfast show on the radio, but on TV.
Yeah.
And I'm still fascinated as to why it's still going and why the license fee is paying for it.
You mentioned earlier, though, that it was, having sort of watched it out of a sense of duty for this,
yeah.
It wasn't as bad as you thought. You no, kind yeah. of found it enjoyable.
Having gone back to it, they've changed, they've upped their game a little bit.
They have.
They've become a bit self-aware as well.
You see, we have a bit of an issue. We don't know whether, because we've been running this now for 6 months, a bit longer maybe, I can't remember, beginning of the year, something like that.
Yeah.
And we talked about this last week. It's almost like this podcast is the only notes that are given.
Yeah, to the only feedback they get.
And they keep changing things. So the handbrake turn of the week, which is a feature we'll come to, they're more difficult to spot.
Yes,
to be fair, not this week. I've got some classics.
Right.
But it's a hard, I don't know, a new team have come in. We were talking about this, they've got the films that they show now have titles. Sequence.
Yeah. It's got quite a nice house style they've got with the big graphics at the start of it, and the logos are all looking good. It's not too bad. It's improved since I last watched it.
I think we've done a service. Yeah.
I think the last one I was on was, episode 3 or 4 or something?
And season one of this,
I haven't done it since. So I've had that really marked, like, first time, I had pages of, like, this, of idiocy. And this time I was like, trying to find something funny about Matt Baker's hair or something. And I was like, what's going on?
Okay, and actually, it's all right. He's quite funny. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if someone's feeding him lines, but they're coming across quite well. And one thing is, watching it on an iPlayer app on your phone on the tube is still quite embarrassing. when you're like, you've missed it and you're catching up. I mean, what stage do you have to be where you're watching the one show on the iPlayer? Yeah. I mean,
this. We think the only people watching it on catch up, because who would? Are the guests for this? Anybody else?
No.
Why would you go, I've missed the one show. Yeah. I'll watch that on iPlayer. No,
there's never going to be something you can't miss.
If something didn't need to be made available for 30 days, I think we can.
I'm just astonished they put it on iPlayer. It must just be automatic. It's a waste of server space.
Yeah, it really is.
What was the first one you watched? Did you watch Mondays?
Andy Kershaw's Chroma Crabs was the main. That's where I went straight in. And I'll tell you what, he has got the weather-beating complexion of a fisherman. He has. I mean, I haven't seen him on the telly for some time.
Andy Kershaw had his troubles.
Yes, the Kershaws.
Notably.
I've always preferred Andy to Liz in the Kershaw. Personally, I'm amazed she's still getting paid for doing radio. But Andy, it was so good to see him back. Yeah, quite nice.
It kind of was. And this was, it started with the line, it's 5 a.m. on Cromer Beach, which is a classic one show kind of material. It was also about something in the sea, which the one show are obsessed
with. They are obsessed with fishing. Yeah. There's been a lot of fishing.
There was magnetic fishing
astonishing.
We will come to that astonishing
which
segment.
I thought was a kid's game. Yeah. I must admit.
But let's talk about Andy Kershaw and his crabs. So it was a film about the crab industry off Norfolk.
Yeah.
But trying to get young people interested.
Yeah,
in
they took about three unemployed young kids out there, like the X Factor generation who don't work hard enough and want to instant money straight away without doing the hard graft. Took them out on a boat for the day. And most of them didn't like it, to be honest.
No.
They weren't taken with it, but they didn't get much out of them.
But this is a chat. You sort of go, okay, so Kershaw's on a boat. For a start, there was an excellent bit where Andy Kershaw genuinely said, this is so exciting. He said it was exciting. Please can I have a job to the skipper
of
the
did,
as a joke. Except when Kershaw said it, it sounded genuinely pleading. My life's been difficult now. You know, I used to be on Radio 1. I carved out a nice little niche for myself in world music. And now
nothing.
I'm reduced to standing on a trawler at 5 a.m.
He does all the various segments on the one show just to work out which job he'd like to do next.
Yeah, that's what he's using it for.
But he was very interested in it, wasn't he?
He loved it. He was like a kid at Christmas time. And I actually quite enjoyed the look of it. But, I mean, no one's going to want to get up in the morning and go on a boat like that.
I was surprised that there was an 18-year-old, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You know, this is his chance to shine. He'd been unemployed for quite a while. He'd come out of school. But also no. And they said to him, this kid, you've been unemployed. This interests you? The crab fishing industry? And he just said, I'm thinking, this is your chance, my friend, to shine on national television.
Yeah.
To talk to future employers and say how keen you are. And he just sort of went... Yeah. I can't really get up early in the morning.
It's too early. If it was later in the day, I'd say yeah, but it's just way too early. But then at the end, this was the exciting bit with the crab sandwich. But this was the bit where they referenced it back in the studio. This is where I think they've been listening to this podcast, right. And they're now mocking it themselves.
Yes.
They're mocking the VT themselves, yep, when it comes back, because Andy Kershaw had a crab sandwich and he poured salt from a sachet on top of the bread, which was, I've never seen anyone do, and no one has ever seen anyone do.
Yeah, too weird.
But then when it came back at the end of it, they went, oh, look at that, isn't that weird, putting salt on top of a sandwich? And so they're doing your job for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. There was they're picking one. Out there was the bits.
You
yeah.
see the violin segment this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Giles Brandreth.
Yeah, Giles yeah, Brandreth and yeah, the violins, right. But someone made a reference to a G-string, and Matt Baker yes. came back off the
good
back
line.
Of it.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
a joke, with
yeah,
a
with
good
an
joke.
An actual joke about, you know,
nothing worse than a nasal G
string.
We should point out. I literally watched it half an hour ago. Yeah.
What the? So it seems that after 300 years, Stradivarius still rules. So if you happen to have a spare 10 million, do yourselves a favour. Do get one.
Nothing worse than a nasal G string. That's all we've got time for. Thanks to Jenna. The Cry starts on Sunday, 9 o'clock, BBC One.
Bring it back tomorrow with David Stern. We'll see you then. Have a great evening.
Was this the one where they were interviewing a bodyguard, a genuine bodyguard? Was this? Was
no,
this, that
this
one?
Was the one where Jenna Louise Coleman no, was on, I think, wasn't it? Was this Monday?
Oh, it's all
yeah.
blended.
Oh, no, that was also the bodyguard yeah. one. Yeah,
no,
you're
it was.
Right.
Yeah,
you
they had
right.
the actual
yeah.
bodyguard woman on. Yeah.
yeah.
And then they went to a little piece about Stradivarius.
That's right, but that's yeah. the thing. Violins, so you go, yeah, okay, yeah. this the woman who was an actual bodyguard yeah. to A-list film yes. star. So the premise was, bodyguard's been on, not the bodyguard. They were looking to point
yeah,
that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they joke about that, didn't
bodyguard
yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
has been on the telly. So we've got an actual real-life woman.
Yeah.
Close protection officer.
Yes.
Runs her own company, protects celebrities, and they chatted to her about that. And I was thinking, this is interesting. This is a really interesting yeah. conversation. Oh, yeah. But then they didn't ask her anything interesting, like, how did you get into this?
Yeah.
What made you want to get into close protection? What's your background?
Yeah,
what's
the, all, you know, yeah. loads of the stuff.
And it was just random stuff about them. And then they said, well, we haven't really got Alex, I think it was Alex on that day, said, well, we haven't really got enough time to carry this conversation on. So, and I'm thinking, you have.
Yeah.
Just don't cut to the 2-minute film about the Stradivarius.
Yeah, cut that.
Just drop that.
That.
Pop it tomorrow. Yeah.
Put that yeah. film on that another is, day. We know that's what you do.
It really is.
And instead, there was this Giles Brandreth. With a 75 quid violin,
yeah,
and a one that was
£1 million,
million yeah, quid, yeah, yeah. and blindfolded some people. Can you tell the difference?
Oh, they were.
The answer was
unbearable.
Yeah, instantly. I closed my eyes. Yeah. I played along at home. Yeah.
If you're playing at home, close your eyes now. As I say, Alicia, please pick up violin A and play for us. And this is violin B.
I mean, it's nice to see Brandreth is still on the show there, as a long-time fan.
Yeah.
I mean, he is still going. And he's calmed down his act a little bit, I think. He's you know, he's smartened
more
himself
up. Yeah.
The jumpers are much more sensible. He's not quite as wacky as he used to be.
Those four violin experts. Who were they? Were they violin experts or were they just humans? They were awesome.
They had a range.
They were so unbearable. They were like, oh, the thing that stood out to me, it was the nasal G string, he said, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It was just so immediately obvious. It was the nasal
G string sounded nasally. Oh, yeah, nasally. But that did give Matt, as you rightly say, a blinding joke,
really
which got a big,
to end on.
Big
I mean,
laugh.
Yeah, this is why I was so impressed by it.
Although, what was telling, because Jenna Coleman was on.
Oh, my God, she
Jenna
did not find it funny.
Not at all.
It's fair to say.
There was a big laugh from the crew, but then it cut to her to say goodbye, because it was the end of the show, wasn't it? Nothing.
Her,
I mean, no
she
laughter.
She constantly was staring at her, massive eyes, just like, should I be laughing at
well,
this?
Well, I imagine the problem with that is if you put yourself in the position of Jenna Coleman or any one show guest, you're not watching the VTs, are you?
No.
So she has no clue
she's like, I don't know
what that
about.
Joke is.
Right.
So
zoned
as
right
far
out.
As in her mind, something's happened for 3 minutes and then Matt Baker's made a weird joke about a nasal G string to end the show on. And she's gone, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, you got to put yourself in Jenna Coleman's shoes, haven't you? Yeah.
All too often. Yeah.
But she was one of those guests that they kept there for the whole time, which sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But poor old Jenna had to sit there promoting her new drama, which was called The Cry. And we do this handbrake turn of the week feature, of course.
Where
we've been a little bit. Recently, it's been really
difficult
to
hard to spot them. Yeah, this week I found it hard to spot.
It's not my winner this week, but there was a Gemma Coleman moment where they said they talked about her drama, and then they said, "Well, it also high drama."
Yes, Brexit
is Brexit.
Oh yes, yeah. That
was also high drama.
High drama. Yeah, it was a tenuous link, wasn't it? Really,
there was another one because that was the bodyguard one as well. And this is like the opposite, complete opposite of that handbrake turn. But the way they delivered that. Alex Jones basically went, "So the bodyguard was on last night. There's a bodyguard." That was it. It was like no attempts to be like, "We have done nothing past Google bodyguard and book one."
There was a film that they showed during this, which was weird because Alex voiced the film.
Friends Luke and Molly are both on their way to a Brexit rally.
I think we're going in that way.
Tomorrow they'll be in Liverpool, campaigning for a people's vote on the terms of a Brexit deal. But today, we've asked them to hear the opinions of those who take the opposite view at the Stop Brexit Betrayal rally, organised by the Leave Means Leave campaign.
Did you see the Alex Jones voiced
the Brexit debate one? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so they sent two Remainers
to a leave rally, which they're trying to make like these Donald Trump style rallies, aren't they?
Well, there's literally a man in a Trump hat.
Yes, there was.
Asian man in a Trump hat.
Yeah, I know. It
was like brown skin, red hat. What's going on? Sorry, hat of colour.
Yeah.
It was like, what?
It was pretty far from one of the Donald Trump rallies, though, wasn't it?
Really? Yeah.
It was like Nigel Farage on a very small stage shouting at some sort of conference room in the Reebok Stadium in Bolton or something. It was just that. Such a depressing picture of the UK at the moment.
But those people were the Bolton Brexiteers. They were just, let's send these sort of, I don't know, they weren't that old, were they? Liberal sort of 20-somethings, I suppose, were they? Into this sort of...
Like students, weren't they?
The rat's nest of Brexit. And there was all these people clutching their union flags and they're waving them in the conference hall. So it was a sort of BBC balance sort of thing, and there's a bloke in the red hat. And then a day later, the idea was that they'd try and get some of those Brexiteers to go on a march for none of them did.
Did you notice there was the Asian guy in the Trump hat and then the old woman, and did you notice that basically the sign-off of that whole bit before they went to the Remain march is that the two Remainers sort of went, "Well, maybe we'll see you there tomorrow." And the old Brexiteer woman just went, "Well, if he goes, you'll notice him, won't you?" Or something. It's basically went, "There's an Asian man. I've never seen one before."
So will anyone here agree to do what Luke and Molly have done today and join them for the People's Vote March tomorrow?
Can we convince you to come along?
No. It's easy to get to them, Bolton.
There you go. We might see you there.
Yes, you might, yeah. You'll recognise him, won't you?
There was a really weird ending to the last line in that film. Was something like, "There's not a lot that can be solved over a cup of tea."
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And then it cut back to the studio where they said, "Well, other than Brexit," which I thought was a joke. I thought they'd go, "Oh, so Brexit can't be solved over a cup of tea." But then the sentence carried on. So it wasn't referencing the film at all. The sentence went, "Well, other than Brexit, the bodyguard has been dominating the headline."
Wow.
And it was like, what's this?
That's either the best bit of writing you've ever seen.
Exactly.
Both halves of the sentence.
I was really impressed. It was like, whoa.
It was not deliberate.
It was not deliberate. It was completely. He was like, oh. And that was when they started talking about the bodyguard and got this Jackie Davis, I think her name was.
She was really interesting. But they're making a film about her, aren't they, on Netflix?
On Netflix. Yeah. And
they didn't lead with that. That was like Alex Jones's. I was like, if you're a bodyguard, you've got to have the coolest life because they're literally making a film about you on Netflix. But at the end, they're like, she asked them banal questions for 3 minutes and went, "Oh, and they're making a film on Netflix."
"Oh, I wish we had longer." So do I. And now you're cutting to a film with violins in it. You don't need to. You've got longer.
They're making a 90-minute film about this.
I've got a friend who does this stuff, right? Is a bodyguard.
All right.
He's a bodyguard, a protection officer for the celebrities, right? And one of his clients is Madonna. Can I say that probably? He told me this great story about how difficult it actually is if you are in this industry. And this is what they didn't do on the one show. Thinking, I want some stories about whoever.
Yeah.
He does Madonna. So Madonna, he said, one Christmas Eve, just it was in London, and said, I want to go to Winter Wonderland, you know, that in Hyde Park.
Right, yeah.
And it was sort of, you know, 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve or whatever. You know, he's at home with his family, not in London. And Madonna phones up and goes, well, I need this. And he's like, I can't. And he just said no. He said, I had to,
Madonna,
take a stand and go, I cannot, I haven't got the staff. How am I going to put you in Winter Wonderland on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock when it's Christmas? You know, it's like not good. And he said the demands, though, that come in are insane from these people.
Yeah, that is crazy, isn't it? You don't think of when they're just not there, not on shift. It's like, well, no, I want to leave my house now.
They just it's like, do it. Yeah. Do it because I said.
But they didn't end up shagging. No.
Not as far as I
I mean, that's the one that seemed quite far-fetched, to be honest, on the show. And there's no spoilers, obviously.
No spoilers.
But I think everyone's aware that they did.
But they did it.
Yeah.
And they're all dead. I don't know.
Who cares? It got worse and worse as it went on, that show, didn't it?
Yeah, I haven't seen the end of it yet.
Have you not?
No.
Right.
No spoilers.
Now we started with my bodyguard, but it was. I was disappointed.
It started off all right.
It did start.
He's not a particularly good actor either, is he? Yeah, the main guy. The guy from Game of Thrones I wasn't really aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed by him.
Prefer Killing Eve.
Killing Eve is much better.
Anyway, so that was that Mondays with Jenna Coleman? That was Monday. So that kind of sucked up all of that. Did you do Tuesday?
Which one was Tuesday?
Ruth Davidson.
Yes.
Ruth Davidson. You know, from
the one who's making Tory politicians seem normal.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So she's pregnant. She's in a relationship, isn't she? She's is she married? Is she civil married?
I didn't see this one.
Her partner.
But also, I don't know.
But, so she's now
and having a baby together.
Having a baby together. But
taking it in turns.
Taking it in
well,
turns. That was the funny moment.
Which was the interesting moment, wasn't it? Yeah.
Two women, so she goes, well, I'm doing it this time. My partner's going to do it next time. This is fair.
Well, that makes more sense because I've not seen it and I thought you meant taking this pregnancy into. I'll do the first 2 months.
Then you take it
for a couple of months.
There was a very good exchange. Again, Matt Baker did a funny at the top of this episode, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where he said, so have you got any weird cravings? And she said, well, no, not food ones, but I've had some very odd dreams. Weird, mad dreams that can't be logical. And Matt just went, what, like becoming Prime Minister?
Yes. I mean, it was amazing. This is why I'm just amazed at how good he is now.
Do you think they've employed a writer, like a comedy writer for Matt Baker?
I don't know what's happening.
That can't have been, because unless it was fed into his ear.
It was too quick.
As soon as she said it.
It was too quick.
Yeah. I think he's relaxing into the role, and he's doing very well, to be fair. He's just, I was blown away by his performance.
Yeah, I was impressed. You know,
there are some positives to take from this show.
There always are. We admire the way they structure it. This is not to knock it. You know, we do knock it. But we admire the work that goes in. And then there was she said, I haven't had cravings like a pregnant woman in terms of food. Not gherkins and ice cream and Nutella and kippers. I just like salt. She'd have liked the sandwich, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would have done. With the sachet on top of it.
Just salt, she said. I like just salt. And then Alex sort of went, well, you like the film we've got coming up.
The film.
We've got a story about crabs.
Yes. Oh, that was.
And that's when it went to Kershaw.
Oh, wow. Kershaw, Cromer, and crabs. Yeah. Perfect.
But then Matt sort of said something like about crabs, and she says, there are crabs. And she just went, no need to boast. That doesn't work.
That was right. So he said, I've got crabs. It wasn't quite that rude, people don't show off about STIs generally. I'm riddled with chlamydia, mate. Check me out.
So send us your pictures. And we'll go through some of the best ones at the end of the programme.
I just always feel sorry for the person that has to frame those pictures
every
time they do pictures.
And write the stuff on the back.
On the back. Oh, yeah.
They did some Christmas ones later on in the week. This was the Dara O'Brien episode, I think. People who put their Christmas trees up in September. This is the one show, the classic one show fodder. And they got people in, you know, one of them's for it, one of them's against it. It's all very standard stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
It wasn't the Dara, it was the Hugh Dennis.
Maybe it was. Yeah, because
they were in Hugh Dennis and Leslie Garrett. They're in a Christmas play.
So they
had this tenuous thing about...
It sounds like Nativity, the film, but not that. A new one. That's definitely not Nativity, but it is based on a Nativity. But it's on stage.
And then you're right, they had a whole conversation at the beginning about have you started doing Christmas yet? Have you spotted anything about Christmas? Maybe you've even started putting up your decorations.
Yeah.
Now!
That was insane.
Yeah. But then somebody had.
More than one person. In September. Ridiculous.
That led into film about ticket touts.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was curious.
Which I was sort
yeah.
of interested in.
Yeah, yeah, there was a couple that I was a bit interested in this week, but they did manage to make them quite dull. Like, there was one, I can't remember what day it was, about the solar orbiter.
Oh, yes.
Remember that? It's going to take photos of the sun. I was like, I perked. I looked up from my laptop where I was doing something else, obviously. I went, oh, I'd quite like to watch this.
Masturbating.
Matt Baker's on TV. But, I mean, but and then 90% of it was just them in a factory where the thing was covered over with a sheet.
Yeah.
So it was just a grey room. I was like, you managed to make a really interesting thing exceptionally dull for me.
Although I did learn something. Now, we do ask anything you learned this week from one show, and I learned something interesting during that sequence. Although, I have to say, the way they got into it was a classic, well, we're off to space now.
Yeah.
Are you? Wow. But this was interesting. So the solar black panels on this sun orbiter, which, to protect it against heat, like 6,000 degrees or whatever it is, where it's going to go, is made of burned animal bones.
Yeah, that's weird. Oh,
what? I learned that. Well, the panels on the sun orbiter are made of burned animals. They're really basically torched animals.
They really
speared them on a spacecraft.
They really skirted over that bit, though, didn't they?
Yeah,
they mentioned it, and then they spent 4 minutes talking about, well, you might expect it to be a white surface because that reflects the heat. And they're like, no, black is better. It's like, talk about the animal carcasses.
What animal? Which animal bones are better? I want to know this. This is what they do.
Fear of missing out, fear of going out, fear of flying, fear of dying, imposter syndrome, spiders, pipes from Ghostwatch, dolls with buttons for eyes. We're all scared of something, but what are you scared of? Join me, Sarah Morgan, for The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. The secret lemonade drinker adverts. Geese. That time on Biker Grove when Ag McParlin got shot in the face with a paintball. In each episode, I interview funny, interesting people I like, people like Phil Jupitus, Alice Lowe, Richard Osman, Riley Silverman, and Danielle Ward, about their biggest fears in a judgment-free environment. It is spooktacular.
The Fear.
And remember, do have nightmares because they're an entirely appropriate response to the horrors of modern living.
GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Rule of Three, a podcast about comedy. I'm Joel Morris.
I'm Jason Hazley.
And as usual, we're joined by someone who makes comedy to talk about something funny that they love.
Martin's voice
really
jumped up onto my back and sneaked round to the side of my neck and went down my throat and then came out again. And suddenly, there he was.
I think I'm the only scaffolder or ex-scaffolder to have been on a BAFTA top stage.
There's more money in faces.
There's more money in faces, but there's no control. That's what I like.
I can't control the face.
I can't control where I put my face.
And Rory sort of pitched to James, can flute be the last word? Because I think that's the funniest word to end on. And James went, I know it is, and that's why I don't want it to be at the end.
But there's this idea that there's a limited amount of space for funny. It's like when men think they have to go out with someone who's not funny. As if, like, but if she's funny, what'll I do? You're like, you'll both laugh! You will both have a laugh!
This was also the episode with magnet fishing.
This is my thing that I learned this week. Did you hear the first line of this VT, the magnet fishing one? Bump. Rivers and canals are a very good place to go fishing this autumn.
Oh, wow.
except the whole film was promoting magnet fishing.
Well, yeah.
But then we were told not
then
ever to go
magnet
fishing.
They said it was illegal, didn't they?
It's illegal.
Yeah. I was confused by what exactly magnet fishing was. Because I sort of, I'd seen the Cromer Crab one. I thought, how many stuff? Did they do a lot of, was it Fishing River. Week? Yeah, or something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what it was.
Well, it was
so
another
So I sort
tenuous...
of skipped through it because I was so bored by
no,
it.
No, it was the most interesting one. You made a mistake,
damn,
man.
Yeah. It's hard to tell. It's
but they got into it with the topical little reference to the beluga whale that had been trapped
right,
in the Thames.
Yeah, yeah. Topical peg to hang it on. Right, okay, good.
You'll never know. Yeah. What'll turn up in our waters? So we sent Kevin to take a look at a new way of fishing that comes with a warning attached. And like you, I went, oh, God, another aquatic life fucking film.
Yeah.
And no, magnets. People dragging shopping trolleys out of canals with magnets. But here's the thing. Not just shopping trolleys, was it, Dave?
No.
Weapons.
Guns.
Really?
They were dragging guns, like Uzis and stuff.
I can't believe I fast-forwarded through this.
Out of the River Medway.
What? And then selling them.
So send us a stamped addressed envelope if you'd like a one-show branded gun.
Wow.
But no, they were genuinely pulling like Uzis.
So they dip like a little magnet, like a horseshoe-shaped magnet down
a bit
on, a
more
string,
powerful.
On a string into a canal.
Essentially, yeah. And it's now a thing. It's now a proper
That's
thing.
A good hobby. I could get
it's
into that.
It's a great
yeah.
hobby.
Yeah.
But they were pulling guns at hand grenades.
Oh, dangerous.
Like, they were saying...
as long as you don't pull the pin out.
They were saying people... get hand grenades and then sometimes just lob them back into the canal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
what
insane.
Are you doing?
Are you mad, man?
And then they had a quick line from the organisation that looks after rivers and canals does not approve. And you're going,
right,
well, I mean, it is clearing the canal from debris. Yeah. But then you go, they don't approve because it turns out what people do is they pull knives and guns and grenades out of the canal or river and just leave it on the towpath for children to play with. Yeah. That's enough. Why they don't approve.
He had no sense of humour, him, did he? The canals and trusts guy, rivers and canals.
Wasn't at all,
really? Oh, he was awful.
But this is that. But they want to ban it. But the one show is sort of promoting it.
Yeah,
so now
isn't this
I
cool?
now
Look
want
at the
to do
cool
it.
Shit you can find at the bottom of a canal, and it's now illegal.
So I have a handbrake turn of the week.
Good.
Did you? I mean, did you have one before we go into?
No,
you,
I haven't. I couldn't really find it. I felt that they'd up their game on the handbrake turns. To be honest, I don't know. But you're more finely tuned to this.
I am. Well, do you know there were kind of two. One leads into the other.
Yeah.
So before I tell you the handbrake turn of the week that I spotted. Let's...
Spotted.
Another interesting fact.
Spotted.
Another interesting fact that we learned was this. A Scottish laird? Lard? Laird? Yeah. How do you say that?
Yeah.
Laird. A Scottish laird.
Lard is different.
Yeah. A Scottish lardy laird.
They do love lard in Scotland, though. Bloody love that stuff.
Deep fried laird.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Who was called... Like, I had to keep rewinding this to find out his name, but it sounded like, and I think it was Lord Tweedmouth, which like the most...
They made that up.
It does.
Yeah.
But that was his name. He invented a dog.
Oh, yes. When he brought these two breeds together. Yeah.
He invented the golden retriever. It didn't exist before Lairdy, Loudy...
Lard Tweedmouth.
He wanted a dog that would fetch dead things he'd shot.
Yeah.
In 1868, from land and water. So he crossed a dog, a particular dog he had, which was a wavy coat retriever with a shark.
No. I was genuinely with
you. I know, your face, I was like, wow, this is a one-show film and a half. No, with something called a water spaniel, which I hadn't previously been aware of.
No, I didn't
and
know.
And what came out of that, it's like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. He's half man. He's half laird, half dog.
Half laird.
Yeah. So that's where the golden retriever comes from, because you cross these two things. So they had a golden retriever festival.
You just get golden retrievers now. The other two, they've been forgotten about.
Long gone.
No one cares about them. So they're all related to that one dog, aren't they?
Yeah.
I love the golden retriever festival. I mean, it seemed like a strange... one thing I learned from it was diabetic alert dogs. Did you see that bit? I didn't know about these guys. They smell when a diabetic is low on blood sugar and they start going, woof, woof, you need to have a Mars bar. Because there's a particular smell you emit when you're low on blood sugar.
Holy
which
hell.
I was
this
amazed
is great.
By.
I know, this is great.
Was genuinely interesting. And then there was this weird couple from Colorado. These were the main things. They'd come all the way from America for the Golden Retriever Festival.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a bit too much work to bring their dogs with them. So they brought cardboard cutouts have three golden retrievers. And it was such a strange sight to watch them talk about it.
But they were life-size as well.
Yeah, they were life-size cardboard cutouts of dogs that they must have put on a plane and bought through customs and everything.
Oh, no.
Because they wouldn't fit in a suitcase, those dogs,
no.
would they?
No, it was sad. It was sort of, why have you come to a dog festival without your dogs?
Yeah, because
the whole point was the dogs were doing tricks, which I now know, I learned, was called, if you get a golden retriever to retrieve something, they call it a scurry.
Oh, yeah.
That's, and there was a little competition whereby they'd throw...
Why is it not called a golden scurrier?
They'd throw a thing down a course and the dogs would then have to go and retrieve it.
Sort of, I don't know,
supermarket own brand Crufts, where... It was happening in Scotland, where the dog was invented by the Lady Lard.
And it
was called a scurry. But half of the retrievers weren't retrieving this stuff at all. They were golden twats.
Yeah. That's all they were.
They were not bothering.
No.
Which annoyed the filmmakers for this particular film, because it just wasn't going the way...
I mean, some of them were made of cardboard, to be fair.
They didn't get anything.
They didn't get a damn thing.
But this brings me to the handbrake turn of the week.
Mm.
So they got into it with... This was the episode with Ruth Davidson, right? So, obviously, Scottish MSP, all the rest of it. And they said... And she was promoting her book, I think.
Yes, She Can, I believe her book is called. Yeah,
exactly right. But Yes, She Can. And she's pregnant, and that was the story. It's all very lovely. And then they said, now, one thing we've discovered is that Ruth is a dog lover. And so here's a picture of her with her MSPs.
Oh, what? Yes.
First off, what?
This was a dig, wasn't it? There was a big dig. Yeah.
They showed a picture with there aren't
There's
many.
About 30 of them.
Yeah, there aren't many Tory MSPs in Scotland, right? So they showed a picture of her with them. Right?
Yeah.
And then this was their way in. This was their way into the Golden Retriever film.
Yeah, very weird. Yeah, you're right.
So, well, getting them to pose for a photo is one thing. Golden Retrievers, on the other hand...
It was mental. Oh, yeah.
And that was it. And I'm like, what?
Hang on, run that by me again.
It's hard to get MSPs to pose for a photo. It's like gathering dogs around for a photo.
It's like making a new dog.
That's insane.
But they did have a dig at her because there's not many of them, is there? There's not many MSPs, are there, for the Tories? So they had a dig, but then they liken them to dogs as well. I mean, you can see this bias coming across, can't you?
It was a very weird way into this.
But I do like the guy who did the report, the guy with glasses and the mod haircut and the long side buzz. What's his name? Like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the good ones.
He is one of the good
ones. Yeah, I like him.
Their lineup of presenters, I mean, you know, they always have their specialities. They always send Rory off to do something technical.
Right, yeah.
They always send Matt Allwright to do something absolutely inconsequential. Kershaw obviously is making a comeback with his fish-based
he's going big on the fish.
stuff. Yeah. He'll do anything.
Yeah.
There's more dog talk with Ruth Davidson after this about... Because she's got a spaniel.
Yeah.
A cocker spaniel, I think.
Yeah.
And it had had an accident.
Yeah.
And it had broken its legs off. Ruth's spaniel got run over. Ruth, tell us about that. And she's like, yeah, indeed, it got run over. You know, and it's terrible. And this happened. She said, no, it's not the only thing that's happened to it. Another bad thing happened to it and everything else. And I'm looking at her going, don't trust her with the child that's in her. just don't. She can't keep
control. She's a liability.
The dog's been injured. Just take it away. Then they went back to her book. She was promoting this book called Yes, You Can.
Mm-hmm. Yes, She Can. Yeah.
Yes, She Can. Yeah, that's right. The other one's Obama. And it's a woman. It's about women who have achieved great things.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what it was. It's not really an autobiography, is it? It's more about women who've done well over history, yeah.
And they talked about, is her name Seema Rao? She's an Indian, incredible woman. I mean, she and they listed the things she'd done.
Right.
And she's in the book, and not many people have heard of her, and that's why they listed her. I think her name was Seema Rao or something like that. And they said she trains the Indian SAS. Where women aren't even allowed in the military in India, but she trains their equivalent of the SAS.
Yeah.
She has taught them a new way of shooting. Her close combat techniques are now employed by the FBI in Quantico. Yeah. They've got her books on their shelves. They mention that. She's a trained firefighter. She's a scuba diver. She's a medical doctor. Her daughter has now become the first woman to beat a man at mixed martial arts. And it's an incredible story, incredible woman and everything else. And they said, that's brilliant. She's superwoman, said Ruth Davidson. And then they said... Theresa May's in the book as well.
And then
there was this awkward sort of... I mean, she danced to ABBA. Let's talk about Dara O'Brien.
Yes, this was on Thursday night's episode. So he came in and was promoting his tour and the new book he's got coming out for kids. But they just sort of used it as an opportunity to sort of mock him, which I found a bit weird, because I'm like, you know, you don't bring someone on and then expose them like they did. There were three references to him in a negative light throughout the half hour. So first, he comes on and they say hello, and then they go straight into a report about hair transplants. And they're like going, well, this might actually be a bit of a touchy subject for Dara. And they hadn't talked about his hair loss. Or, and like, as far as I know, they're not like friends with him. We've joked about this in the past. 5 minutes in, they're going, all right, Dara, you've got no hair. Watch this. Yeah. I loved it. So they go into this piece all about hair transplants. Then Hugh Dennis gets him on to call him lazy, basically, because he had a question for him based on how he never gets out of his seat on Mock the Week.
Which was the night before Hugh Dennis was on. Yeah, absolutely.
So then they call him, they're laughing at his hair loss. They're calling him lazy. Yeah. And then later on in the show, at the end, they do a piece all about filler words. So they get this vox pop that they've recorded.
It was in the news, wasn't it? People who use...
People going, which I do like. Yeah, and just pointless words just to pad out sentences and soften the blow of certain things you're telling people. And then they go, oh, Dara, you do that. You're always going, aren't you? Like, it's like, what the...
So you're bored, lazy, and you're shit at your job.
How much more can he take? It was like a full-on character assassination of Dara O'Brien. To be fair, by the end of it, he looked a bit like... you got anything else you want to say? Want to say I've got my weight as well while we're here? But it's just unbelievable. They showed a montage of him on Mock the Week going, and he does go, a lot. He uses it for sort of comic timing, I think.
His big thing is that classic comedian trait of doing a punchline and then going,
which seems to be an accepted
rhythmic thing
that comedians do. But they mugged him off three times. And it just felt really awkward. I can't imagine the atmosphere afterwards when they finished filming. Like, oh yeah, sorry about that, mate. You just had to go. But it's the closest thing I can imagine is like getting John Holmes on, right, and then going straight to a report on a smaller gentleman from Nuneaton who wear waistcoats.
I wore one once.
There are a lot of cardigans there.
Jardigans. Part jacket, part cardigan. You know as well as I do that is a jardigan.
But yeah, I just thought it was out of order, and I was surprised to see such a soft, cuddly show like this punishing someone, like almost bullying.
Dara here is killer, no filler. But this suggests otherwise. Look at this. Enjoy.
Yeah, all in one take as well.
I'm sure we had this conversation the last time I was on there about whether, do you think, because they must have a lot of these VTs just in the can.
They do, ready to go. Yeah, we found this out.
So do you think, I imagine they've gone, so they do this here.
Right. Yeah, Jay Rayner was on. So he was telling us all about exactly how it works, right?
Oh, so Jay, they've got them all banked up.
He said they basically have a shelf of them. They try in some ways to link them to the guests if they can in the tennis show, but otherwise they've just fallen off the end. Regular listeners of the podcast know this, they will fall off the end of the shelf and new ones will come along. So that Stradivarius thing we were talking about that didn't need to happen there, that could have happened at any time.
But they decided
we've got a 2 minute film. 2 minutes, what's the fucking point?
They should have dropped it.
I'm more interested in the bodyguard woman. No.
So they have gone. Dara's on.
Yeah, Dara, what's
define the characteristics? Can't really talk. Bald. VTs, we got them.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's astonishing, isn't it?
Horrible way to treat someone. Yeah.
What else did you were just...
Well, I was going to say, did you notice the... did you watch the end of the Hugh Dennis one when Alex Jones did some terrible, terrible auto-cue reading to plug Dara O'Brien? She just stopped reading halfway through a sentence and she just went, thanks Hugh and his Mock the Week. Mate, Dara O'Brien will be on tomorrow. No attempt to just like, she obviously had
she
never
was
read
a bit awkward this week. She couldn't say the word politicians at one point.
No.
She was
like,
an MP.
Hugh Dennis was the. Now, I've, worked with Hugh Dennis on things. And he told a bit of an anecdote about Steve Punt.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so he said about They're talking about arriving on, getting on stage and doing whatever. And he told this anecdote about Steve Punt. I think he said they were in Cambridge doing a gig, and he said, and Steve Punt just was in the toilet.
Yeah.
He said, so I went on stage and just stood there and was like, well, he's in the toilet. And it was one of those things where, just because I know Steve Punt and Hugh Dennis from other work, it rang so true with me. Because Steve Punt is the lovely, but the scattiest, you know, if he's supposed to be at a place, he won't be there.
Yeah.
He'll be in the toilet or we'll be doing something. And it just rang. And it was one of those things where you think, well, this is, again, something slightly behind the scenes. It was an anecdote that wouldn't necessarily mean that much to one show viewers, but it was one of those, you go, yeah, that's absolutely, so I can just vouch for that.
Yeah.
And go, yes, Steve Punt is one of the most tardy arrivers at things I think I've ever met. It was interesting they were plugging their Christmas play. Now, this is about the, it was Leslie Garrett doing comedy with Hugh Dennis.
And someone singing. Else, there was someone else, wasn't there as well?
Singing.
Yeah.
And then she forced Hugh Dennis to sing.
Oh, that was probably the worst moment of the one show this week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
She literally was like a school music teacher going, come on now, we've practiced this, haven't we? And it was so obviously rehearsed.
Did not want to do it, did he?
Oh, no. And it wasn't a well-known song.
And then there was a really weird moment where she said, working with Hugh Dent, who the hell else is the other one?
Who is the other guy?
I can't even remember who it is. Yeah. Someone
else.
He
obviously didn't want to come on.
No, he was... And she said, I laugh so much, I have to change my knickers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an awkward sort of moment, but the credit to the director or the vision mixer on this, who cut to the reaction shot of Alex and Matt, whose reaction to her saying, my knickers are so wet, I have to change them. It was like, you could have missed that, but no, it was a perfect bit of reaction to something that, a sentence you don't really want to hear on the one show. And then they moved on, which is fine, but I thought you nailed that. You got their reaction to it, because that wasn't rehearsed.
No.
That was a nice...
There was also a weird bit where they started talking about camels. Do you remember this? Hugh Dennis and Leslie Garrett. And Leslie Garrett said something like, and we had to be dromedaries. That was obviously the start of a story. And then Alex Jones just butted in and was like, and they just talked about, was that one hump or two? And then they never resolved it at all. So it basically went, Leslie Garrett went, we had to be dromedaries for, and then Alex Jones was like, oh, is that a camel? What's a camel? Oh, one hump. Hugh Dennis went, I think it's two humps. And they went, anyway, let's move on. It's like, what was the story? Yeah. What happened there? It was mad.
They do move on. When they find something interesting that you or I might go, okay, well, this is a line of questioning. The problem is, as we said before, they've got someone in their ear going,
really
move on.
They? Yeah,
it's not on the script.
You've got to go to the Stradivarius video. We've got to get that out at some point. So I don't care about this.
So anything interesting that crops up, you just glossed over.
Yeah,
they can't improvise around these interviews.
Well, as they're listening, maybe they'll take that feedback on board. Yeah, just let the presenters chat.
Come
more.
On.
That's what we want.
There was actually talking about someone in your ear. There was the very first link of the whole week was Matt Baker introducing Jenna Coleman. Did you notice they just started laughing halfway through the sentence for no reason?
Yeah, like there was a sort of in joke.
It was almost like someone had just said cock in his ear.
Yeah, that was it.
Just basically went like, she's worked on her granddad's market stall. And then she's also starred in Victoria. And it was like...
And tonight's guest has gone from helping out on her granddad's fairground stall in Blackpool to sitting on the throne as one of our greatest ever monarchs.
I just think from that, because then he said to her, is it true you worked on the market stall? And she said, well, my granddad wouldn't say that. In fact, it was like for an afternoon. I think she'd made a face. It was one of those classic bits where some research had been given to Matt Baker saying she started off working on her granddad's market stall in a fun fair in Blackpool or something.
Yeah.
And she'd obviously, off camera, shaken her head or just gone, no. And then he'd had to sort of catch up with it and go, is that
true? They should check those facts with the guests, shouldn't they?
They should.
Just that very first thing they say about you.
Yeah.
The Gemma Coleman episode was where their new feature has, we've talked about this for the last 3 weeks, they've got a new feature called You Know Who You Are. Did you see this?
Mm.
So
it's a train.
It's a lovely thing whereby the uncelebrated heroes of our nation are celebrated on the one show, where people can write and go, well, an act of kindness was done to me and I'd like to say thank you on the one show.
Yeah.
And then they talk about the act of kindness. So in this instance, it was Emma in Slough was on a train and the baby change table was broken in the toilet.
Yeah.
And then they said, so the guard came along and fixed it. Well, that's part of his job, isn't it?
Train's broken, fix the train.
But then a woman helped and gave them snacks.
Yes.
And they went, you know who you are.
Oh, they haven't had a lot of entrance to that competition, have they?
Yeah.
I was walking down the street and someone didn't punch me in the face. Oh, you know who you are.
I'm tempted.
Yeah.
To send in some random made-up ones.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Just to sort of, you know, I was...
they'll be on to us now if they listen to this podcast. Well, so let's send some under... Yeah, let's be clever about this. Yeah,
you know, yeah. I was walking along the street,
listening to the One Show podcast.
This is coming to me.
Are we not aware of that? Yeah, it's available for more.
And an assailant hacked off my leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And then an old lady came up, didn't get her name, and she gave me her leg.
Yeah.
And I was able to insert her leg. She cut her own leg off in front of me, and I inserted her leg into the bleeding stump of my leg, and she died.
Yeah.
Of blood loss, but I was able to survive and write into the One Show. Yeah. And there we go, well, you know who you are.
You know who you are. That lovely lady.
So if you want to write into the One Show and try to get your You Know Who You Are's on, then do. And we'll then try and listeners getting their You Know Who You Are fake stories.
So we don't want to write them here. We want to wait and get them on via the podcast.
Then write to us via our...
Tell us.
Have we got a thing?
It's Twitter, isn't it?
It's at The One Show Show, because you can't get enough characters to put The One Show Show.
Oh, that's disappointing, isn't it?
The One Show. Anyway, any other business?
Did you know, there's a very minor, boring thing, but Hugh Dennis was on Wednesday.
Yes.
And they alluded to the fact that he had recorded Mock the Week the night before.
Tuesday.
And it goes on a Friday.
Does it?
Is that what they do every week? I just found it's quite a boring... Like in TV television production thing. Comedy.
Does Mock the Week go on a Friday?
Mock the first 2 days of the week.
Yeah, Mock the first 2 days of the week only. Yeah, yeah, that's dodgy, isn't it? That's strange.
Very heavily relies on.
Missed a lot. Because how do you do jokes about the beluga whale? I mean, we mentioned the beluga whale earlier, but by the time this goes out, it might be dead. We don't know.
I mean, on a basic sort of production level, if you're doing it on a Tuesday evening, you've basically locked down a script by, what, Tuesday lunchtime? So it's really like Mock Monday, isn't it?
That's literally all they've got.
A bit of Tuesday morning.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, it's quite so a reference. You think they would keep that quiet, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I think it might have been an accidental reveal. But,
yeah.
But then hundreds of people go and watch it every week, so it can't be a secret. But if that was not a one-off, that's insane.
I swam into the Thames to rescue the beluga whale personally. You know who you are. any other business? Matt Dyson.
The only other thing I learnt was that a fishing licence costs you £30,000. And that is what's putting Andy Kershaw off.
Those 18-year-olds.
He is skint, yeah.
Well, look, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, pleasure.
What a joy. What a joy it was.
What a joy.
That was, of course, the One Show show. And rating and reviewing. This is a podcast thing.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter to you on your daily radio show.
Yeah, I do have a podcast actually while I'm here called about fantasy football called Game Week. Yeah, but I mean, it's very niche subject matter.
You think this is
not much crossover. But if you listen to podcasts and you like fantasy football, you might want to give it.
Can you promote this on yours?
It's probably not. It's very, definitely not. But yeah, 5-star ratings. I mean, they're so helpful.
It does help because word of mouth is all we've got on this kind of stuff.
So. It's just because everyone wants ratings now, don't they? Taxi drivers all want ratings. Don't they?
It's easy
to do.
Just like that episode of Black Mirror.
Exactly. Yeah, constantly.
Rate it and review it. Yeah. If you have a moment to do so, we would do appreciate it, of course. But whatever you do, remember this. When you look at the television to look at the One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Brian and Roger by Dan Skinner and Harry Peacock.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. I thought I'd give you a call because it's been a year since we first met at the Divorced Men's Support Group and became such good friends. So I thought maybe we could celebrate by watching Avatar again. What do you think? Give us a call. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Hello, Roger. It's Brian. That sounds great. We haven't watched Avatar for a while. Do you want to come to me? I've moved in with some students. To save a few quid. And they're not usually here in the day. Although we can't watch it in my bedroom because there's a grow room. The boys are growing marijuana, but I'm sure I could borrow a laptop and we could watch it in the kitchen. All right, cheers, Rog. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. Yes, that sounds great. I'll come to you. I'll bring the copy of Avatar. I've just picked up a new copy from the Sue Ryder shop. It only cost me £1.50. I thought I'd give it to my son, Jamie, for his 14th birthday after we've watched it. That's next week. So yeah, I'll pop round. Look forward to seeing you then. Great fun. Okay, bye. Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. Yeah, really enjoyed the Avatar night. Great fun. My back and legs are a bit sore, though, probably from standing up in the kitchen for 4 hours. It's a long film, but as you said, you know, your house, your chair, and you're quite right. I think I've left the copy of Avatar at your house, actually, and I can't get over to you to pick it up because I'm looking after Anne, the 82-year-old. Woman that I live with. Do you think you could send it to me before next Tuesday? That's Jamie's birthday. All right, mate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello, Roger. It's Brian. Avatar is always worth a revisit. It's such a important film. You know, giving a man a second chance to be a big blue disabled alien in a space jungle. It's genius. As far as returning the copy of Avatar, I'm happy to do that, but the student lads I live with have been snorting amphetamines off it, and it's severely scratched. But I'll send it back, no worries. Just stick some stamps in the post, and it should be with you by Wednesday. All right, cheers, Rog. Bye.
Great big